you in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Hey, welcome to Fantasy Focus. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Twitter, ESPN's YouTube, and ESPN Fantasy's Facebook page, as well as the ESPN app. And if you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Good morning. It is Monday, September 20th. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stephon DeBell, and Daniel Dopp all here today to recap all but one game of week two as we still have Monday Night Football between the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. Of course,
I believe that you have their name wrong.
Daniel's
Lions? Pathetic.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Man,
it took you hopeless. 5 seconds to.
Daniel's pathetic and hopeless Detroit Lions.
Guy gets one lucky win on Thursday night.
The guy gets one offsides gimme call. Just, here's a little gift wrap present from the NFL.
It's the Bill Parcells quote. You are what your record is. Sorry, we're 1-1. I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is we're 1-1.
We're 0-1.
Lions about to be 0-2.
Wow. Ooh. Fighting words from Matthew
Berry. Oh, yeah. I'm calling it.
Okay.
Calling my shot. That's right.
Matthew Berry going out.
I'm making a bold call.
There it is. The first bold call Matthew's made in quite some time. Let's get right into the show because we have a ton to get to when we start, as we always do on Mondays, with the injury update. So we turn to the GOAT herself, Stephon DeBell. And Stephon, the Rams suffered an injury in the preseason to one of their best players, that being running back Cam Akers. And now his backup, the starter, Darrell Henderson Jr., also is banged up. What can you tell us about what he's dealing with?
Yeah, Darrell Henderson, this was one of the concerns, right, was what would happen. Would he be able to hold up? He had a rib injury that happened late in the game in the fourth quarter. He was able to walk off the field under zone power, but expect him to get it further evaluated today.
It took literally 2 weeks to get both sides of the Darrell Henderson argument, those in favor and those against, right? Because he got
the same game.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yes, you could say really just week two, because he looked very good before the injury yesterday, Matthew, and then he gets hurt, which the question was, could he
cash
hold
in a
up
touchdown
over the course of a 17-game season? It seems like there's a chance he might not be able to make it through or make it all the way to week three without potentially missing time. Sony Michel, the next man up in that backfield, he's rostered in a bunch of leagues. We'll talk about Sony throughout the week.
Yeah, but it's worth checking. I think it's like, I want to say it's like
65%.
He's available in 50. He's rostered in 55%.
Right. Yeah.
So he's available in almost half the league. So, like, I know for your waiver wire column, the cutoff we use is 50%.
Yeah.
But feels like he deserves a mention.
I might modify some rules here this week, and we'll talk about waivers.
Yeah, it's a brutal week.
It's a brutal week for waivers. It's really not a move the needle type week on the waiver wire, if you will. Stephania, all three running backs for the 49ers, all of them that were active yesterday, are banged up. Just go through them all and tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, we would say the three starting running backs, because you have to remember the original starting running back, Raheem Mostert, was already lost for the season. But yesterday, in short order in the fourth quarter, they lost all of their running backs. Elijah Mitchell, who had been named the starter of the day, goes out without about 11 minutes left in that quarter with what was termed at the time a shoulder injury. At about 5 minutes and 45 seconds, they were down to zero running backs because Jermichael Hasty had gone out with an ankle injury and Trey Sermon had gone out with a concussion. So just to recap where they are, as of last night, Kyle Shanahan said he expected Elijah Mitchell and Jermichael Hasty to undergo further testing when they got back to the Bay Area. He was hopeful that Mitchell had suffered a stinger, which is not an insignificant injury. I mean, it involves either stretching or pinching the nerves on the side of the neck that go down to the arm. But sometimes it can resolve within a few minutes. Sometimes it takes up to a couple of weeks. So the fact that Elijah Mitchell came back into the game, which he did do at the end of the fourth quarter, I think bodes well, hopefully, for him for next week. Jermichael Hasty will have further testing on his ankle, and Trey Sermon goes into the concussion protocol. He was in for one carry, took hits to the shoulder and the head. If you saw it, he also hyperflexed his neck, hit the ground really hard. It was a really ugly, unfortunate incident for him, and we'll see how he does. They had Trenton Cannon, who came into the game. He was there for special teams, but he ended up carrying the ball one time for -1 yards. Kyle Shanahan said he was just glad he knew what to do when he got into the game. They also have Kerryon Johnson, who they signed to the practice squad last week. Who knows if he's going to be resurrected in the Bay Area, but clearly a mess for them at the running back position.
It unquestionably is. Unfortunately, we do more 49ers injuries, it feels like, on this show than any other team. Sermon, by the way, this is a little scary only because he left the national championship game, his final college game for Ohio State, early. It was a shoulder injury that looked nasty at the time. He obviously was well enough to be drafted in the third round, but a bummer to see a player that we all hoped we'd see more of. It didn't happen in week one. It barely happened in week two, Matthew. So other than Elijah Mitchell, it sort of feels like a hope and a prayer in that backfield now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything to do right now because we just don't know.
I have no idea, yeah. We have I can no tell you idea. Add Kerryon Johnson, but for all I know, he'll be on the practice squad. He could be cut from the practice squad tomorrow, right?
Could be Kyle Juszczyk leading their, you know.
Trey Lance at running
back. Trey Lance. I mean, honestly, like, they may just say, screw it, we're going to throw it every single play. Yeah. Like, it might be Trenton Cannon. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, we just don't know. Hopefully, get more information today or later in this week. But as of right now, what I would say is that I would make plans to be without a 49ers running back. If you're rostering any of these guys, again, if you have to make any sort of decisions today, I would just plan on not having anyone available this weekend, A, both due to injury and also just uncertainty in terms of roles and playing time for the teams. I think one last thing here to note for me, Field, is Stefania, you went to 49ers camp this year, right?
I did.
Played the fifth. Played the fifth here. So Stefania, though, no, don't worry.
Curse of Stefania,
just don't listen to him. Dun, 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 dun. Right. Let me quickly
why
add
don't
one
we
thing,
have any
though.
Drops
no,
anymore?
Let me add one more thing,
Secret
though.
Squirrel, because why don't we have any drops anymore?
Because people want to hear about football, not drops.
I disagree.
I will say this, though. By the way, Elijah Mitchell, I know that the final numbers are not what you're looking for, just 7.3 fantasy points.
Yeah.
He got the opportunities, though.
He did.
17 rushes. That's all you're looking for in a Kyle Shanahan offense. So if he's healthy, it remains clear that they wanted him to be the guy. Philly's run defense is no joke.
It's good. Yeah.
Very good. So
I agree with you.
Better days are ahead for Elijah Mitchell if he can stay healthy. They play, what are they playing week three? Do they play the Packers?
Yes, Packers at home.
Packers at home.
Finally, the 49ers are home for
much more favorable run defense, I would think, on paper compared to what they saw yesterday. Deontay Johnson, this one was, I mean, they're all a bummer, Stefania.
Right.
But
I mean,
the game is out of hand. Literally, it's over. It's final play. They're down by 9 points. And what happens next?
It's always always him on the ground holding his knee. Looked to be clearly uncomfortable. Required assistance off the field. All Mike Tomlin had to say afterwards was that he had a knee injury that was being further evaluated. As you mentioned, Field, it was the final play of the game, so there was really no way to have good information at the moment. Just one other note for our IDP friends, TJ Watt left the game with a groin injury and never returned. So the Steelers with two key people that we're taking a look at.
Let me just quickly, I mean, we all know with Mike Tomlin, there are so many great things about him. You're going to know exactly what the injury is, how much time they expect him to miss. So while we don't have information right now on Deontay Johnson, I would imagine by this afternoon, maybe tomorrow, we'll have an update from Mike Tomlin, and he'll be very clear. He'll be very transparent. He is the best, and there's no second in terms of coaches providing injury updates.
How dumb is it, though? I mean, like, again, listen, hindsight's 2020.
It's dumb.
Hindsight's 2020, but, like, you're down 9.
It's dumb. It's dumb. There's no two ways about it.
It was like, and it's like it's going to be trying to be a crazy, you know, Stanford band, whatever, you know, music theory miracle play. But even if it works,
right, you still lose by 1 or 2 points.
That's right. This reminds me of remember when at the height of Rob Gronkowski, didn't he get injured blocking on a field goal attempt or a point after attempt? Do you remember that?
I'm just telling you, go around the NFL. That was one of those storylines that I always felt like Belichick kind of got like raked over the coals for. Like,
right.
There are star players, J.J. Watt, guys like that, that are playing on extra points. Like, have we seen blocked field goals change the outcome of games?
Sure.
We have. So, yes, there have been some meaningless injuries, though, or meaningless play injuries, but it's just generally not good business.
And by the way, there was I'm totally blanking on it, but this happened in college this weekend, too. A star quarterback happened. Somebody got injured. Oh, good. I forget who it is.
But the same thing happened where a
good quarterback prospect in college got hurt on a crazy sort of play at the end of the game.
Here's the thing.
This weekend, too.
All I want to say is if you're comparing stuff to like the Stanford band and whatever, I just feel like it should be more like your wheelhouse and stuff that you were there for, like when Moses parted the Red Sea and stuff like that. Like the big ones that really matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Matthew dropped his first kid off at college for that during that Stanford-Cal game.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it was?
Okay. It was 82. Right. Your kid had just turned 18.
Yeah. Exactly right. Listen, I might be old, but you know what? I'm 1-1.
Hey,
GI Bills, Daniel.
GI Bills from World War
I'm 1-1, and I got a bunch of healthy running backs, Stefania, so I don't want to hear from either of you.
Stefania, the Browns lost Jarvis Landry early in the game yesterday after just one catch. What's the prognosis there?
Yeah, he had one catch for 9 yards, then he left the field. He was limping. He was first in the blue tent, then back in the locker room. At the end of the game, Kevin Stefanski confirmed that it's an MCL sprain for Jarvis Landry. He said he'd be undergoing further testing, and they'll have a better idea of the severity of it after today. But typically, even with the mild variety of MCL sprains, it usually does cost you time. Keep in mind, however, Jarvis Landry's only missed one game in 7 seasons. Tough as nails, will try to play, but sometimes the injury dictates what you can do.
By the way, that one game he missed, he was a close contact last year. Remember during that game when the Browns had no wide receivers? I believe it was against the Dolphins, maybe? And that was the first game he'd ever missed. This is a guy who also has only gone one game ever in his career without a catch. That was his first ever NFL game. He's as tough as they come.
Yep.
Matthew, we talked about this last week when Odell was hurt. The interesting thing about the Browns is they're really good on offense, but they have too many pieces in place. For one player goes out, there's not somebody that all of a sudden you say to yourself, oh, like, that's the next man up.
Listen, if there's some interesting guys for deeper leagues. Austin Hooper had 5 targets, actually led the team.
Yeah,
you know, so 40. Right, you know, a guy that used to be the number one tandem in fantasy a couple years ago. So Hooper becomes interesting if you're in a tight and needy league. The rookie Anthony Schwartz has flashed. He certainly flashed in week 1. I thought Donovan Peoples-Jones is somebody that, you know, we like a lot. Think about Rashard Higgins last year.
And the story was Demetric Felton, a 6th-round pick out of UCLA, who's a running back, wide receiver, return man. He had a touchdown yesterday. I think he had 8 total touches, though, right? Yeah. 3 catches, 2 rushes, and 3 returns. So it's hard to count on any Browns wide receiver as somebody that you can have in your lineup. And that is, we don't even know what's going on with Odell Beckham Jr. for week 3. So we'll discuss this one further.
I do think there's a decent chance we see Odell. There's just a gut feeling more than hard science. He did post a cryptic tweet that would suggest that he's nearing a return. I also want to mention Baker Mayfield left briefly with a left shoulder, non-throwing shoulder issue. He was very sore. Stefanski said he gutted it out, made it through the game. I don't want to minimize that it's his non-throwing shoulder, because we've seen guys have to go out if they end up needing a procedure done. Not suggesting that's the case. Just keep an eye on Baker Mayfield next couple of days.
By the way, news into just to clean this up, Clutch. Dennis Reno, the great Dennis Reno, who produces the fantasy show with Matthew Berry, starring Daniel Dopp. Anyway, just mentions he's listening to the podcast. UCF quarterback Dylan Gabriel was injured on the very last play against Louisville. It was a multilateral attempt. And I remember seeing a couple of tweets about the fact that Gabriel had been very careful, had like literally slid on a bunch of rushing plays, again, to avoid injury. And then he's in on this last second stupid multilateral hope for a miracle kind of play and gets injured on that. And so Gabriel, who's well thought of, obviously, you know, anyway, dumb.
Appropriately named Dennis Reno. His nickname is Clutch for a reason. All right, let's move to LaVisca Chenault, Stefania. And Chenault yesterday, he did something rare. He had negative receiving yards on 2 catches.
I know, but he had 7 targets. Don't know what was going on in that game. I'll just go down the injury pathway, which is that LaVisca Chenault hurt his shoulder, set for an MRI today. So we will see what happens.
So during the preseason, one of the reasons why I was a fade on LaVisca Chenault is I kept talking about how the utilization of him is just not fantasy friendly. You need to have like 100 catches if your ADOT, which is average depth of target, is going to literally be somewhere between 0 and 1 yards. His ADOT may be negative right now.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, a bummer of an injury for LaVisca Chenault from a fantasy perspective through 2 weeks. What we've learned, though, is that the Jaguars wide receiver to this point that we trust the most is Marvin Jones.
It's somebody we talked about in the preseason. We talked about him quite a bit.
Good call by you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Like I talked about the fact, like I get it. Marvin Jones isn't sexy. No one's all excited. Like, you don't leave your draft going, yeah, I got Marvin Jones. Except here's a guy who has at least 9 touchdowns each of the last 2 years, the only wide receiver in the NFL to be able to say that. And oh, by the way, he's reuniting with Daryl Bevel, who was his offensive coordinator in Detroit, where he was a top 20 fantasy wide receiver under Bevel. And now he goes to Jacksonville to be a professional. And I mean that as a compliment, a professional wide receiver for Trevor Lawrence. And that's no disrespect to Chenault or DJ Shark, who are younger in their careers, but Marvin Jones is a guy that, like, hey, I need you to do 9 yards in and out. He's doing 9 yards in and out, like on a dime. You know what I mean? Like, he's a professional wide receiver, and that's what Trevor Lawrence needs. And if you watched in the preseason, we talked about this during the preseason shows, they were, when the first team offense was out there, and it wasn't a lot, But Trevor Lawrence was looking for Marvin Jones. So this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that was paying attention to our content. Especially, listen, Marvin Jones was on the preseason love list, and there are facts about him in 100 facts. And like,
we talked about him a lot on this podcast.
A lot on this podcast.
Underdrafted huge.
He has looked good so far this season. Stefania, unfortunately for the Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa was dealing with an injury again.
Yeah, it was scary when it happened. Yeah. He took a hit after he threw a pass. Your ribs are more exposed there, went down to the ground, did get up to walk off the field, but went to the ground again before he got to the sideline and was tended to by the medical staff, ultimately reported back as a rib injury. Brian Flores saying he would undergo further testing both Sunday night and Monday morning. You know, the thing is, x-rays at the stadium rarely, if ever, give a very clear picture of injuries. And unless you have a fracture that's severe, displaced, you often don't see things. So you get an MRI where you can see something to the rib or something to what they call the costochondral, where the rib and cartilage meet. Both of those can be very problematic, even if they don't see anything initially. So we will learn more today about the results of those tests, but I would plan for the eventuality that Tua could miss some time.
Next man
whoever
up.
It's worth, hey, Stefania, I don't mean to interrupt you. I just think this is, I just got an alert literally while you were talking. So for whatever it's worth, so Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, Tom Pelissero, I believe, does a good job, good reporter, tweeting out, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa underwent further tests this morning on his bruised ribs, and my understanding is those didn't reveal any major issues. X-rays were negative, so it'll be about pain tolerance and functionality moving forward. Raiders await Sunday in Las Vegas. So that's according to Tom Pelissero, which is basically what you were saying, but just, again, sounds like he has a source on the inside.
Right. And so that is a thing, right? If there's nothing that tells you you have to sit out because location of fracture can determine if it's a risk for the lung. And those are some of the things that go into deciding whether somebody can play. If it's safe, if the fracture is stable and it's not in an area where they're worried about them taking hits, then it becomes, can they perform functionally? Can you breathe well enough to move and throw and get fatigued? And can you throw? Because every time you throw, you're moving the rib cage. So there's a functionality question that comes into play if you're cleared medically.
This entire offense so far this season has looked pretty bad. Jalen Waddle, a touchdown in week one. He gives me the most confidence still. But with Jacoby Brissett, I'm not sure there's any pass catcher other than Waddle as a dart throw that I'm comfortable with. I know Devontae Parker's a good player and has sort of been there, done that for longer. But Jacoby Brissett looked like Jacoby Brissett kind of always does yesterday, right? He can make some throws. He's got a strong arm, but not mobile. It's going to be pretty deliberate with the ball in the pocket. There's a reason why he's sort of a pinch-hitting backup.
And by the way, like, the run game, you know, listen, if you had to pick a running back, you want Miles Gaskin, but it's not like he's emerged.
Offensive line's brutal.
Yeah. Brutal. So it's super weird, Field, because it's like, thank goodness I don't write the waiver wire column. Mm. I do not envy your job this week because there's not a lot to sift through this week. I also wish I didn't write the love-hate column, but that's a whole other thing. Like, you know, it's a whole thing. I wish I didn't write. But I'm chained to my desk till the end of time. But here's the truth is, though, right, is that, like, while there's not a lot of people to pick up, it feels like there's more people to welcome to Dumpsville.
Oh, there's tons.
Tons. Like, Will Fuller, we don't, you know, and we hope that everything is all right with that personal situation, whatever that is. We wish Will the best. But the fact is that with no timetable for his return to the team, for Will Fuller, and potentially whether it's Jacoby Brissett or a limited Tua, as Stefania says, like, even if he's out there paying, like, can you throw? Can you make all the deep throws? Are you going to be limited anyway? Because you're probably wearing some sort of flak jacket, right? You know, like, it's Parker and, yeah, I mean, what you're hoping for is that they do, like, a 3-yard out to Jalen Waddle and he takes it to the house, which he has that ability.
He does, yeah.
But it's, I mean, like, the running game is not impressive. Gesicki is, you know, feels like a real bust. You know, for somebody that people had a lot of high hopes for coming into the season as a
better
as a
player
top
than production
tight end.
Right now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I would
no
just
question.
Say really bad offensive line play, below average quarterback play has translated to bad starts to the season for some of their best pass catchers. Stefania, let's keep things moving with the quarterback updates. Andy Dalton left the game for the Bears, came back into the game, and then left the game again for good.
Right, and in the process, he went from questionable to return to doubtful to return and ultimately did not come back. It was a knee injury for him. They took him in the locker room at halftime, and then we didn't see him again. Matt Nagy, when asked afterward specifically if it was an ACL injury, he said they pretty much felt they could rule that out, but there would be further testing for Andy Dalton today to determine what, in fact, is the nature of his knee injury.
That means Justin Fields will be the next man up. And Justin Fields has looked like a rookie so far. Hit through an interception yesterday. That wasn't a good one. had some plays that looked like a rookie. That being said, Matthew, if I had to pick a waiver ad of the week, I'm going to go with Justin Fields. And the idea is this is getting ahead of the curve, right? Is that we don't know if Andy Dalton's only going to miss, I'm just making this up here. I have no idea. But let's say he's going to miss 2 weeks' time.
Sure.
I think it's possible that if Justin Fields doesn't play lights out for the next 2 weeks, that Andy Dalton comes back and gets the job back.
Sure.
Like, for all the consternation that was exhibited over the summer about Andy Dalton and why was he the starting quarterback?
Why was he QB1?
Doesn't it seem kind of obvious watching yesterday? Like, I understand the counterpoint is that Justin Fields, like, no rookie quarterback is going to be perfect.
Right.
He looks like a rookie right now. And Andy Dalton is imperfect, but he's played the game for a long time. If you're trying to win right now, there probably are some vets that are saying, you know what, like, Justin's going to be the guy. There's no doubt about that at some point. But for now, Andy might give us a better chance to win. I'm not saying it's necessarily a perfect or a great chance to win, but I could see watching that game yesterday why the Bears are more comfortable with Andy Dalton. But we'll save that conversation for a different time.
No, I think that's fair. I also think, by the way, Justin Fields probably went into that week with not a lot of reps, right? You know, in the second, right? I'm just saying, like, you know, they'd coach him up and see what you got. But I would agree with you that at the moment, I think if Matt Nagy and his staff are evaluating the team, the concerns on the Bears are that defense, not the offense.
No, the defense was good yesterday. Three straight picks. That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, and two pick sixes or whatever. Like, one got called back. But, yeah,
was,
I mean, like...
That was so... I don't want to say, like, fluky, but, like, three straight picks on three straight plays unreal.
No, but I'm just saying they... Yes. Did they play well against the Bengals? They played well against the Bengals. Did they get exposed against the Rams? They got exposed against the Rams. I'm just saying the offense has been solid both games. Not great, but it's been, like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to agree disagree on this one. I think the defense has been, like, just about as good as the offense. Maybe even a little bit better.
It's an inconsistent team. Yeah, it's an uneven team.
Yeah.
I mean, listen... We're sitting here trying to talk ourselves into Andy Dalton. It's that kind of team. But what I will tell you, Field, is I think that's fair. I also think, by the way, that let's play with your scenario, Andy Dalton's going to miss 2 weeks. I think there's a chance that if they win those two games and Justin Fields plays good enough, he ain't giving the job back either.
Oh, you know if they win on Sunday against the Browns, then he's probably taking the job for the rest of the year.
Right.
I mean, unless they have like five pick sixes on defense. But let's keep moving here. We got to keep things rolling in Stefania. A little bit of an update since the show started on Tyrod Taylor.
Yes, from our Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans and does an excellent job. We knew that he was forced out of the game with a left hamstring injury. Apparently, he has is undergoing an MRI. He is considered day-to-day with that hamstring. So that leaves open the possibility of Thursday night, although that would be a very quick turnaround. David Culley saying Deshaun Watson will not be active for Thursday night, so we know that for sure.
It's Davis Mills on Thursday night, people. Let's just break the news right now. But Davis Mills will be starting for the Texans against the Panthers on Thursday night. But I'm glad you said that, Stefania. Matthew, Davis Mills, though, he looked like a rookie quarterback yesterday. Had a couple of throws that I was impressed by. And the wrap on Davis Mills, for those that didn't follow the draft super closely, this is a guy who had 11 starts during his career at Stanford. He entered Stanford, though, as one of the highest recruited players in the country. He was a five-star. He was the all-everything quarterback. Injuries... Other veteran, KJ Costello was there for a while at Stanford. Fairly talented guy, but this is a downgrade from Tyrod Taylor. And I don't know that, I mean, as we talked about, right? I mean, like, there's only one Texans pass catcher you were worrying about. That was Brandon Cooks.
Right.
Doesn't really change my outlook on Brandon Cooks. I agree, just maybe slightly lower expectations. Slightly.
So a couple of things here.
Oh,
so,
before you
what do you got?
Since you're going to discuss the wide receivers, I will just mention that he also said, according to Sarah, that Nico Collins still being evaluated for what they're calling a pretty significant shoulder injury. Ugh. Danny Amendola left with a hamstring issue yesterday, so slim pickings.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's a very slim group.
Nico
already.
Collins, who's had a nice little rookie year here to start the season, so you know, tough break there for Collins. Two things here.
Okay.
Number one is just a general thought. The Texans, for all offseason, were a laughingstock of the NFL. You've got no picks.
This is my spiel.
I know, but I'm gonna echo it. Okay, for people who haven't heard your spiel about it, they're gonna think it's my original thought.
Okay, good. Take it away.
Which is fine. I'm totally good with that. Which is just like the Texans were the laughingstock of the NFL. Deshaun, forgetting the legal stuff, Deshaun Watson, like, I demand a trade. I don't want to be here. J.J. Watt wants out. DeAndre Hopkins went out. They have no draft picks. It's a cupboard. You know, the cupboard is bare in terms of talent on the roster. And through two games, they are 1-1, and they took the Browns, who a lot of people had as, you know, a playoff team last year. As a lot of people have the Browns as, you know, one of the top six teams in the NFL. They took them toe-to-toe. Like, credit to David Culley and his staff and the front office as well of the Texans. Because, you know what I mean? Because it easily, they're out there trying. You know what I mean? They have bought in, and like, credit to that staff in all seriousness, because that is a really tough situation.
Our friend Ryan Russillo talks about how effort is a skill at the professional level.
Yeah.
People assume it's not because there's so much talent. It is. They play hard. They play incredibly hard. Through two games, we have seen exactly that.
Yeah, and the last thing I'm going to say here, though, is, by the way, and I'm well aware of this because you used them against me in our War Room matchup, which was super annoying,
but
the Panthers, the Panthers are a really good defense, and I don't think they're considered that. And, you know, Panthers getting a rookie quarterback in a short week, the Panthers, honestly, that should be in your waiver wire column. I don't know what the rostership percentage is on the Panthers, but my guess is I bet you it's under 50%, and that's – like,
good thought.
That I would stream them in a New York second.
All right, let's
in a Carolina second.
Let's move things.
See what
forward.
I did there?
One more,
because that's where the Panthers are. They're in Carolina.
I got it,
Daniel.
Man.
I don't know if you got that.
Yep. So Stefania, notable name.
Because the phrase is normally a New York second, but I changed it up at the last second.
Just wait.
To say Carolina second.
Just wait. He'll tire himself
out.
It's like a dog.
I just want to explain the joke.
Just let him keep
barking. I didn't hear crazy laughter from Daniel, so I just assumed he didn't understand it. Yeah, so I'm just explaining it to him.
We need a fake laugh. We need a laugh track so he can imagine that he got it from the audience.
That's why I need to get the
Emco
back so I can have the laugh track just so we can get Matthew.
Then we can move you off the stale joke. Okay.
All right, so probably a bigger injury for both what the Colts' future looks like, Stefania, and also the 2022 NFL draft looks like. I'll explain that in a moment, but what's the latest on Carson Wentz?
Well, Carson Wentz being evaluated further for another lower body injury. Remember, he came into the season. We were not sure if he was going to make week one. There was timelines of 5 to 12 weeks potentially because he had surgery on his left foot for a chronic issue that he had re-injured acutely during camp. Comes back from that, makes week one, leaves week two with an ankle injury after getting rolled up on pretty badly from behind, unable to come back into the game. More testing being done today.
And as we know, and this is the draft part that I was discussing, if Carson Wentz does not play at least 75% of the snaps or 70% of the snaps and the Colts make the playoffs, that first round pick they traded to Philly becomes a second round pick. So major implications there. But Matthew, not like there was a passing target that you really cared about other than Michael Pittman, who was really good yesterday.
He was.
I think that Jacob Eason being in there probably means more
dampers enthusiasm.
It's a less consistent Michael Pittman if Jacob Eason started.
Zach Pascal had a nice week one, caught a touchdown last week. Zach Pascal suddenly becomes slightly interesting in deeper leagues as well. He's a nice little player. I got into a Twitter fight, and by Twitter fight, I mean just a back and forth with Mike Clay when I said for fantasy purposes only, Zach Pascal over Paris Campbell. And Mike was like, "You're crazy." And I'm like, like Zach Pascal,
but honestly,
he's going to get a lot of run.
And real purposes too.
According to I don't even get into the whole talent discussion. Mike Clay is like all in on Paris Campbell, and
can't
so
make the club from the tub.
I'm just saying.
All right, let's keep things moving
But
before
either way,
we do,
they like Pascal was running ahead of Paris Campbell in the preseason in terms of their two wide receivers.
He's an underrated player. Another Old Dominion standout this week.
Like NFL superstar Taylor Heinicke.
1-1, baby. Hey, do you own or rent your home?
Oh, he's 1-0 as a starter.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, are you 103 and you need to grab a 5-hour energy shot to stay alert to watch all your favorite games?
Yeah, or get through this podcast, yes.
Or did you stay up too late to see that intense overtime game? Well, take a 5-hour energy shot in the morning so you can start your day. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-hour energy website has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There's a flavor for everyone, and you can try them all. On the site, you even have the option to build your own 12 or 24-pack. You choose the flavors, and it's delivered right to your door. If you go to 5hourenergy.com, that is the number 5hourenergy.com, you can get some 5-Hour Energy product today. You can use our promo code FFF to receive 10% off of your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com. Use the promo code FFF. And that's going to bring us into the new hit segment. They aren't who we thought they were. Aren't who we thought they were.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Daniel workshopped that one for a minute, but the premise is basically, as Daniel described, it's time for unexpected performances brought to you by EA Madden NFL 22. And Matthew, let's just, you and I trade back and forth here.
Sure.
And I want to be consistent and quick on these. Derek Carr has been unbelievable through two games. Yeah. He was great to finish last regular season. He's available in over 80% of leagues. He's done it against two very good defenses in Baltimore and Pittsburgh yesterday, throwing for 382 yards. He's quarterback 8 right now. He's on pace for nearly 7,000 passing yards.
I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to agree with you on that.
Yeah. I just made you money. Yep. Everyone, if you're in a state where betting is legal, take the under on 7,000 passing yards for Derek Carr. There you go.
So I think the question is but I think people are asking Derek Carr's been great. Should I be playing him over my starting quarterback?
Depends on who your starting quarterback
is. Well, let's just go through it, Matthew, because without putting any effort,
you want to do a name game?
Basically, but it's going to be a quick game.
You know what? I miss the name game.
I know.
Listeners used to send in drops. Like, why can't we bring back the name game? Why did that go away, Daniel?
Mostly because we're just trying to get to people to have names to talk about.
Okay. So
I'm sorry.
Do me a favor, okay? Stop me when there is a quarterback that going into week 3, you're saying, I'm definitely starting Derek Carr over him, okay?
Who do the Raiders play, by the
way? Hold on. The Raiders play in week 3. They're home to the Dolphins.
That's right.
Dolphins
okay,
yep, good defense, yep, great. Obviously. Okay? You ready for this?
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford.
I might play him over Stafford, but keep going.
That's 11 quarterbacks right there.
Right.
Those, without thinking, I came together with 11 quarterbacks, right? Others that are sort of on that periphery that, not guarantees, but, and off the top of my head, somebody like, for example, Ryan Tannehill, often thought of as like a close to lock it in starter. Like,
I might move Carr ahead of him, yeah.
Right. But so that's the point here, is that Derek Carr's been amazing, right? I'm so happy for him.
Sure.
I think he's underappreciated frequently. He's a good, solid NFL quarterback. The trouble for fantasy is just because of the rushing upside for somebody like Daniel Jones and any of those players that we just mentioned, plus Ryan Tannehill, who himself, by the way, threw for nearly 400 yards yesterday.
And got jobbed on a Julio Jones touchdown.
He did. But there are, and Kirk Cousins had a good day yesterday. Yeah. There are a lot of quarterbacks that in a given week can be really solid. I'm really, Derek Carr's a great story, but is he a fantasy starter? I think the answer is probably not.
I think it depends on your league. I think if you're in a deeper league than 10-team leagues,
sure,
if you're in a super flex league or two-quarterback league,
right.
A 12-team league, I think he's viable. And a 12-team league, let me put it this way.
90% of our leagues on ESPN.com are 10-team
leagues.
Yeah,
but you know what? More than just people who play in ESPN Standard Leagues listen to our podcast.
I get it.
Or just download it.
Here's what
I will say. I will answer this definitively. To me, the better question isn't, is he a starter in ESPN Standard League? Because people play in a lot of different formats, both on ESPN and other places. To me, the question is, you buy in this. Derek Carr's been terrific for 2 weeks. He ended last season great. You buy in this, or is this a fluke? And the answer is, I am buying it.
Okay.
I'm more on the side of buying it than not. Couple of things here. I don't think they can run effectively. I think their only way to move the ball is through the air.
Okay.
I think they actually have some nice pass-catching options, right? We obviously know Waller. But huge play from Ruggs yesterday. Brian Edwards has had some nice moments. By the way, he had a touchdown taken back. I think the narrative of him's a little different if that touchdown isn't called back due to penalty here. Hunter Renfro is a nice little slot receiver. They all of a sudden they have some weapons there. Kenyon Drake had a decent game out of the backfield as a pass catcher. Again, I don't think they can run the ball, and I do think their defense is kind of a bend don't break defense. But I think there are going to be a lot more shootouts than not. I'm just saying I think Derek Carr is more real than not. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm in on Derek Carr as a viable fantasy usable piece this year, 100%.
So actionable. I want to know, in a 10-team league, are you dropping somebody to pick up Derek Carr in a 10-team league?
It depends on who my quarterback is. So if my quarterback is Patrick Mahomes – or my
if your quarterback is any of the 12 people that, including Ryan Tannehill, I would say because
I'm nervous about the first two games for Ryan Tannehill.
Sure. So I think it's fair. But so a couple things here is that in super flex leagues or two quarterback leagues, obviously Derek Carr.
Almost every quarterback is rostered.
So really where this matters is where are you? And I think the inflection point is somewhere between like 12 and 16 team leagues. Mm-hmm. But so I think in 16 team leagues, it's a conversation starter. It's somebody like myself in the War Room League, or you had, as you started, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I have Ryan Tannehill.
Right. I drafted Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I have Trey Lance on my bench. So like I streamed with Kirk Cousins this past week.
Right. But it's a conversation, but in a 10 team league, I don't believe it's a conversation. In a 12 team league, maybe.
Borderline starter.
Maybe. Yes. Yeah. All right, let's move forward here, Matthew, then. So yes, you can take James Robinson then, because there were some encouraging signs from James Robinson yesterday, but still not great overall output.
The offense is broken there. Like it's bad. You know, I mean, like, look, here's the thing. So this is a guy who was drafted as running back 15, and week one, he had 8.4 fantasy points. Week two, 9.4 fantasy points. You know, listen, a little bit better in terms of Carlos Hyde, 32-13 edge in favor of Robinson.
That was important to me.
87% of the running back touches went J. Rob's way. It's the fourth highest rate, but just the offense is bad. They didn't do anything. So I think until further notice, James Robinson is much more of a hoping for a score flex than the mid-tier RB2 that we thought.
Agree. And a couple things here is that the offense was bad last year and he was tremendous. The snap stuff is important to me. I kept saying that Carlos Hyde's just going to be annoying to begin the season. I'm more hopeful now that maybe by the fourth or fifth game, this could be much more James Robinson's job. Let's keep things going here to Deebo Samuel, who, again, was awesome yesterday. He had 6 catches on 8 targets for 93 yards plus 8 rushing yards, Defying. And that must have brought a smile to your face.
It did. Did you know that Deebo Samuel is leading the NFL in receiving yards right now at 282? Yeah. People were a little bit concerned. He did not make the injury list, but if you were watching that game, you saw him. It looked like he was down and then being tended to on the sideline. Severe cramping in his quadriceps at the end of the day.
Hot day around the NFL. There were a lot of cramping yesterday. Christian McCaffrey left the game briefly, went to the locker room. There were several players that were dealing with heat.
But you can understand that fans of the 49ers organization are a little concerned anytime a player is being tended to.
Barely so. Here's a good thought, though, here. As, by the way, Brandon Ayuk yesterday had 1 catch for 6 yards. He barely played again. George Kittle had 4 catches for 17 yards yesterday, Matthew. Let's talk about these three sort of as a package three-for-one deal. Brandon Ayuk, same analysis as last week. Until further notice, he's absolutely unplayable.
1,000% right.
I'm holding on to him, though. I'm holding on because what happened last year was not a fluke. He's a really talented guy, and he was way too good down the stretch. I'm going to hold. And maybe I'll be a week or a month too late to drop him, but I'm holding.
George, by the way, especially because, again, just not to make light of it, but when you think about what's going on in the running back room for the 49ers, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are both guys that you can sort of manufacture touches for. Mm. They may have to, and if ever there was a coach that's creative enough to do it, it's Kyle Shanahan. Like their run game next week may be a little bit of Kyle Juszczyk, a little bit of Trenton Cannon, you know, maybe Kerryon Johnson's active, but it's a lot of sweeps and motion stuff for Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. You know, just trying to manufacture touches, like little screen passes and swing outs for those guys. You know what I mean?
I agree. So two thoughts here on the other guys then. George Kittle, 4 catches, 17 yards. He's been pretty average through 2 games so far this season. Unfortunately for George Kittle, he's an amazing player, right? He is the most complete. He's just a dominating blocker. He's so good. But we know that's part of the value for him is he's going to be an absolute just mauler in the running game for him. He's going to do a ton to impact the opposing defenses. But in fantasy, he's not going to be the same player that you get from Travis Kelce and Darren Waller at the tight end spot every single week. So my advice to you, if you drafted George Kittle, is I can't imagine which tight end's available in your league to go grab and replace him with. You got to ride the wave. I think it's more about a draft strategy for future years.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
So I'm in this Stephen A. Smith league.
Okay.
So Stephen A. Smith, we did a celebrity league for Stephen A.'s World, and we talk about it every week on a show, every Thursday on Stephen A.'s World on streaming on ESPN Plus. I'm a company man. Okay. So in that league, it's a 10-team league.
Mm-hmm.
I have George Kittle as my tight end.
Yeah.
I also grabbed Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, come on. It's not even close right now.
Hang on. Yeah, the last 2 weeks I've started Kittle and I've benched Gronk. That has been a mistake 2 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing in week 3?
Playing Gronk.
Yep.
But you can't trade Kittle right now.
Obviously, you can't trade him.
You're playing Gronk. Yeah. Again, there are going to be weeks where Gronk does not have 2 touchdown catches, and there are going to be weeks where Kittle looks like George Kittle. They're going to be hard to predict week to week, but you have, like, fantasy, as much as every week is a new week, some of our analysis is predictive based off of what we saw the prior week. All right, last one.
I thought
Kittle
would have a better game against Philadelphia, and I I did say on Fantasy Football Now that I thought it would be a big Mike Evans game against Atlanta. Didn't realize it was also going to be another big Gronk game.
Last quick thought here. He's ridiculous. He's Gronky.
He's Gronky Kong.
We got to keep moving through these, though, Matthew. Sure. Debo Samuel, kind of interesting question posed by Damian. Is Debo Samuel a sell high right now?
I mean, anyone's a sell high depending on what you can get. But do I think this production is somewhat fluky? I do not. Okay. I think he's a really talented player.
Yeah.
And he's somebody that, like, this is his third year in the league, and we expect better days ahead from George Kittle. We expect better days ahead from Brandon Ayuk. But I don't necessarily think that those days will come at the expense of Debo Samuel. I think he is still going to be a focal point of this offense. He's too talented, too.
Just a couple of examples, okay?
Yeah.
A couple examples here.
I mean, offer me. I have Debo Samuel. Make me a deal.
Robert Woods.
I think I'd rather have Debo.
Okay. Robbie Anderson.
Debo.
Those are just two of many examples of players that were drafted well ahead of Debo Samuel this year.
Correct.
That, again, if you feel like 2 weeks in that the order should have been reversed, I feel
you. Woods is close. I mean, Woods played a lot of snaps last. I mean, just Cooper Kupp's been so my little Cooper Kupp has been so ridiculous the last 2 weeks. But I was comforted by how many snaps and routes Robert Woods played yesterday.
If he was not hurt, just again trying to establish some value. If he were not hurt. Debo Samuel for Deontay Johnson.
I'd rather Deontay Johnson.
Okay. Just sort of perspective there. Let's keep things moving, though.
I'd rather DJ Moore than you know, Debo Samuel. Like, I mean, you know, there's...
You prefer DJ Moore to Debo Samuel.
Correct.
Okay. Got it. That's good sort of... Oops. It's good to establish a baseline here. I think I would still consider Robert Woods. I would still prefer Robert Woods.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Everybody else, I'm basically on the same page you with. Let's keep things moving. A player who, through 2 weeks, looks like a reformed man is Hollywood Brown. 6 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. Matthew, eye test is telling me this guy is just much more consistent this year.
Yeah. Listen, he's a top 10 fantasy wide receiver so far. He's wide receiver 8 heading into Monday Night Football. What do you got, Daniel?
I want to ask just a real quick question to Stefania, because I thought that I remember last year, didn't Hollywood Brown deal with an injury that we thought, hey, maybe that was a part of why we...
He came in as a rookie with a foot injury.
Fascia,
he was
right?
No, he actually had a Lisfranc injury. He had a Lisfranc injury, which is a major, major surgery, multiple months. A lot of people didn't think he'd be ready to start this season. The fact that he was impressive. And after that, though, it does take about a year to get your speed back. So I think you're seeing a more mature... you know, more consistent Hollywood Brown. The problem has been he was banged up a little bit to start the year, too, with the ankle injury coming into yesterday.
Post-hype sleeper. Remember last year was the year he put on like 20 pounds
of
muscle. Good to see him much more consistent. He feels like a player that he was drafted as wide receiver 45. If you got him, he's been on your bench for the first couple of weeks. Feel free to get Hollywood Brown into your lineup.
Yeah.
Another former first-round pick wide receiver is Mike Williams. And Matthew, you win a board bet unless like every single Lions wide receiver and Packers wide receiver goes nuts tonight and Herman Moore and Calvin Johnson unretire.
Right.
Jordy Nelson gets signed by halftime, and somehow Mike Williams is not top 30, I think.
Top 30, and Greg Jennings comes back to catch passes, too.
Can we change Rob Tunyon's that position designation to
wide receiver
as opposed
to
tight end? Anyways, you win that board bet. Is 2 weeks enough to feel like this is a player you can trust now going forward?
I believe so.
Wow, is not a strong word.
No, but trust is a strong word, but the answer is yes on trusting Mike Williams, because... Again, the production isn't fluky. Like, the targets are there. The route tree is there. We know that, like, it's not like it was one big play and you're like, it was inflated by, like, a blown coverage or something like that, right? I mean, this is a guy who has a tremendous pedigree, big star in college, first-round pick. No one sneezed or, you know, were like, really, that guy? Like, everyone expected him to go early in the draft. He did. It's been a few years. He's had some injuries. I don't think he was used particularly effectively under the previous coaching staff. Joe Lombardi comes in and says, hey, here's how we're going to use you. And they've moved him all over the field. He's expanded his route tree. He's got a star quarterback who's looking for him early and often. Yes, on Big Mike Williams.
Yep.
Especially when they think about the fact that Hunter Henry, who was a big part of this offense, left. Mm-hmm. And now, all due respect to Donald Parham and Jared Cook, like, not the same level of production as they had with Hunter Henry. So I think Williams is taking on that number two pass-catching role after Keenan Allen, of course.
Contract year.
Contract year,
Contract year, baby. That's always a good thing for a wide receiver. Hey, did you know that Tony Romo, who actually called the Chargers game yesterday, is a motivational speaker now?
What?
This football season, Tony and Corona are remotivating football fans to live game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at romotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit romotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Get in on the action now. It's simple. You just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now and use code FFF. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter the code FFF to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code FFF, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Another new segment today. C-Block Field, I want to let you know, I was sitting at home with my little brother, Andy, who's at home now, probably not listening to the show, and my girlfriend, Rosie.
Yeah, what the heck?
And it's really messed up. Mama Dop, I'm sure, is listening. And I was trying to come up with a segment title for this one, and Rosie wanted me to call it Flip-Flopperinos, as in which one is the real guy, right? We're going to talk about a couple players that had an up week or a down week in week one and two, and which one's the real one. I went with how the turntables, but I just wanted to say she really wanted to get Flip-Flopperinos out there.
Listen, Flip-Flopperinos.
I'm going to just tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now, very clear about this.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, Matthew.
I adore Rosie. You know this.
Yes, I do. Rosie, no, you're a huge Rosie fan.
I'm a big Rosie fan. She's terrific. That name is terrible.
Yes, thank you, Matthew. I said the same thing. But
she needs to hear it from me.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Because Rosie knows I'm a big fan. I've been very supportive. I'm hashtag Team Rosie, but that name's terrible.
Flip-Flopperinos is bad.
It's bad. Yeah. It's really bad. Not good.
Do you think the feeling's mutual between you and Rosie?
I do, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, I was just curious.
No, I'll tell you exactly why. Shouldn't know me that well.
Yeah. I haven't spent a lot of time together yet, so still in good graces.
She's
the honeymoon is still
right,
there.
Exactly. She's met me a handful of times through Daniel in social situations. She's never had to work with me.
Right.
Right, yeah. You know, and there's usually alcohol involved when I'm around. So it's like, yeah. So she's feeling good. I'm, you know.
Margaritas for you.
Margaritas for me. Exactly. I'm a fun drunk.
Flip-Flopperinos it is. Yeah. I actually like that name. Good job by you, Rosie. Let's talk about Zeke Elliott, who bounced back in a wonderful way. Yesterday, he had 97 yards, 2 catches, and a touchdown. Good for 17.7 fantasy points. Worth noting, though, Matthew, this came in a day in which Tony Pollard was excellent as well. What'd you make of the two running backs in Dallas?
A little nervous. Like, we said after week one, we said, hey, don't panic on Ezekiel Elliott. Like, the usage was there. It was it was sort of game plan specific. And we saw a lot more usage out of Ezekiel Elliott in week number two. Specifically, he played 43 snaps compared to just 21 for Tony Pollard. Right? I mean, like, he was in quite a bit. In clutch situations, they mostly went with Zeke. But, and to your point, he had a really nice game. He had almost 100 total yards, 17.7 fantasy points. You'd be happy with that. Except for the fact you're sitting there going like, oh boy, Tony Pollard looked good. Tony Pollard looked good. Like they used him the correct way. They used Tony Pollard the correct way. Right. And so like when he was in there, he was touching the ball. 76% of his snaps, he touched the ball on them. He's absolutely fast. And don't forget, Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, is the entire reason I had to start the free Aaron Jones hashtag. Hashtag free Aaron Jones started with me on this podcast railing against Mike McCarthy's usage of Aaron Jones in Green Bay, those many years ago. Dan, you'll back me up on this.
I will back you up
on this. I literally said this on our air, Field. I don't know if you remember this.
Of course I remember.
I said, mark my words, if Mike McCarthy does not start using Aaron Jones more because he's the most explosive player they have in that backfield, that will lead to him getting fired at the end of the year.
There were a few other things involved besides free Aaron Jones, but it certainly didn't help the cause.
But he did get two things happened. He didn't use Aaron Jones anymore. We had to keep the hashtag going, and he did get fired at the end of the year.
I'm not saying
cause and effect. Listen, I agree.
There was
a lot
different
of
Aaron involved that relationship might have been a little bit more influential.
I'm
to the
with
firing.
You. I can only go off of facts, which is the fact that I declared it. And that he didn't use Aaron Jones, and he was fired.
Okay, got it. Anyways.
Blah, blah, blah. The rest is all a bunch of noise.
Hearsay.
My Cowboys take, and I'll be quick here, is that I don't think that Zeke remaining a clear-cut workhorse in fantasy and Tony Pollard having a role and looking good are mutually exclusive.
Right.
Or if hopefully I'm using that phrase correctly. It's fine. You can tell me if I'm not. But basically,
perfect.
Zeke will still be very involved. I mean, again, 43 snaps to 21, 2-1 in favor of Zeke. Yeah. And when he's in there, he's going to get the ball a bunch. I expect 15 to 20 carries per game for Zeke with some passing game usage. Tony Pollard is their change of pace, if you will. He'll have games where he looks good. Zeke, still a top 6 to 8 running back for me, with excluding a matchup against the Bucs again, almost every single week. And I don't know, Pollard is a add and stash for me right now. Very valuable insurance policy.
See, I think there's a chance that Tony Pollard leads your waiver wire column, at least the running back position. Here's my argument. There's twofold here. Number one is, as I think, seeing his usage the first 2 weeks, I would argue that there is flex viability to him already. This is a standalone, right? In the way that Jamal Williams was useful in Green Bay, even though we all knew Aaron Jones was the guy when Mike McCarthy was the head coach there. So, especially, by the way, with the fact that Michael Gallup is out, and I know they used some Cedric Wilson.
They did.
But he's a part of this passing game, Tony Pollard is. So I think that, especially in a 12-team or deeper league, that Tony Pollard has flex viability.
Maybe.
And then, of course, insane upside should Ezekiel Elliott have to miss a game for any reason. So
between the
upside and the fact that in a pinch you could use him as a flex, to me, I think Tony Pollard needs to be rostered in all leagues.
And he may lead the waiver wire column, but that could be a bit of damning with faint praise. I don't know. Again, he's not, compared to what we're usually talking about on the waiver wire column, that to me would not be the strongest of waiver ads. Let's rip through a few more here, Matthew. Corey Davis, good call by you, was on the hate list, and there's probably pretty good reason. Zach Wilson completed more passes to Patriots defensive players than he did Corey Davis on Sunday. 2 catches on 5 targets for 8 yards.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I mean, that's Bill Belichick against a rookie quarterback, bad offensive line. They shut down Corey Davis. I think Corey Davis is much closer to week 1 than week 2. Again, he was on the hate list. I didn't want any part of him this week. But do I think he leads that team in targets? And do I think, yes. And do I think that team's throwing a lot this year? Yes. And do I think he's a talented player? Yes. So I'm not, this was a week to keep him on your bench, but he'll be fine going forward.
Nice week for Tyler Boyd, 7 catches for 73 yards, kind of what you were hoping for and expecting for Tyler Boyd. Jamar Chase has just 2 catches yesterday, but both he and T. Higgins found the end zone, so Boyd gets the volume he needed to be on the radar.
We talked about this on Fantasy Football Now about, hey, are you panicked about Tyler Boyd? And we're like, no, honestly, look at what Cooper Kupp did out of the slot. We like Tyler Boyd going against the Bears that have struggled against the slot now through 2 games this season, and so Tyler Boyd's too talented. Quote unquote, there are going to be days like this for all those wide receivers. They have 3 really talented pass catchers in Cincinnati, not to mention Joe Mixon, who's a part of the passing game as well. And so, you know, if you have Jamar Chase, he got bailed out by the touchdown. You would have liked to see a little bit more usage. But as all those guys establish themselves, there's going to be Boyd weeks and Higgins weeks and Chase weeks, and it'll be fine. But they're all fantasy viable. It is one of the best wide receiver groups in the NFL for fantasy.
Julio Jones, what do you got? Okay, no. Julio Jones looked much better yesterday than he did in week 1.
Yeah.
6 catches, 128 yards, and really, this really should have been 7 catches, 134 yards, and a touchdown. Julio had a touchdown taken off the board yesterday.
Insane. What a terrible call.
No, we were talking about this before the podcast, is that the spirit of replay, the intention of replay, is to overturn plays that are clearly and obviously wrong. You need to have conclusive video evidence. If Julio Jones' foot was out of bounds, it was by a fingernail. If the play had been called on the field incomplete, it should have remained incomplete.
I made that exact point on Twitter. I have no issue. The problem is they called it a touchdown on the field, and there was no, from any angle, there was nothing conclusive about the fact that he stepped out. So I'm like, I agree with you. Had they called it incomplete on the field and then they threw the red flag, I would have said keep it incomplete. you know, the call stands. So this is a little inside thing, but like when you hear a ref say the call stands, it means they don't have enough to overturn it. But if they say the call is confirmed, that means they agree with the call. So to me, what it should have been is the call stands, meaning like we don't know if it's right or wrong, but there's nothing conclusive enough for us to overturn it. So the call just stands. And so that's what it should have been. Just when you hear refs talking, by the way, when they announce to the crowd, that's what it means. The difference between stands and confirms. And listen, I was happy about that just because you and I are playing in the War Room League. You have Ryan Tannehill. And then also, by the way, I have Julio Jones on my hate list. And another, him adding a touchdown would have made that call even worse than it already was because it was a bad call by me. Tough. Listen, I was wrong on Julio this week. But it was good to see. It was good to see. And the weird part, though, is A.J. Brown, tough game for him. It's been a tough game for that Titans passing offense. That offensive line looks bad, Field.
I think the hope, though, first of all, the offensive line looks brutal. You're 100% correct. The hope is that what they saw in the second half when they got things going, not just in the passing game, but specifically in the running game, is what is ahead for Tennessee.
Right.
As we all know, Derrick Henry, just an absolute, he was the king yesterday in the second half. He was unbelievable.
He was the big dog.
No surprise that we saw a much more efficient passing game when Derrick Henry is also running the ball very effectively. One more, and then I want to just make sure we get Stefania's update on Monday Night Football because we do have a couple of injuries that are important to monitor. Mike Evans, you just mentioned him, Matthew, and we all were optimistic that week one was going to be an aberration. And if you watch the opening drive yesterday of that Buccaneers-Falcons game, I could be wrong, but I 100% believe that Tom Brady heard everything about the quiet day for Mike Evans and said, that's the guy I need to target early in this game, because he did.
Yeah, look, Tom Brady's, most quarterbacks are like this, but there may not be a better quarterback in the NFL, in NFL history, than Tom Brady at this, in terms of making sure multiple guys get involved, keeping them active and interested. And not that Mike Evans isn't a pro, he is, he would be, but honestly, Mike Evans is an insanely talented wide receiver. He needs to be a big part of this Buccaneers offense. We talked about this on Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning as well, that we expected a big game for Mike Evans because he'd been quiet in week one. The stat we gave on Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning, where we said, like, look, start Mike Evans, don't panic, is that last year there were six different times he was wide receiver 45 or worse, and he still finished last year as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver. That's Mike Evans. There's going to be some up weeks and some down weeks. You just have to start him every week and hope. And obviously, this is a week that it paid off. There's no question that Tom Brady wanted to get him involved. And oh, by the way, it's been two straight weeks of Gronk. Big week for Mike Evans. Kind of a quiet day for Antonio Brown. Next week, he's going to get Antonio Brown back involved. Like, that's what they do. Tough matchup for Brady as he, I believe he plays the Rams on Sunday.
He does play the Rams in Los Angeles. Daniel, what do you got?
I was just going to say, I think that Mike Evans is like the king-size version of Tyler Lockett. Like, Tyler Lockett's like the snack-size candy bar. And Mike Evans is like the king size. We're like, they both, this is part of it, right? They're going to have weeks where you have some tough weeks, and they're going to have weeks where they both absolutely crush it, and just deal with it.
By the way,
two very different wide receivers,
totally.
But just saying.
Tyler Lockett's been in fuego.
Unreal.
All right, a couple of injury updates. Stefania, a couple injury updates before we get to Monday Night Football. Is DeAndre Swift going to play tonight for the Detroit Lions?
Yes, the plan is for DeAndre Swift to play tonight. I always say the plan is, that is what we are hearing, is that the plan is for DeAndre Swift to play tonight. But just remember, you know, during warmups, double check, et cetera, in case you need to make a last minute switch. And also, Jamal Williams, who had been on the injury report, was taken off. No designation for this game. So both DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams should play.
One more update here, Stefania, and I think you have the information in regards to Jarvis Landry, a bit of an update there.
Yeah, Jeremy Fowler just confirming what we talked about earlier, that he has an MCL sprain. So that is official. No update on a timeline, of course.
Okay. MCL sprain there for Jarvis Landry. Hope we see him back on the field. We shall see if his Ironman streak continues or not.
Matthew, Field, can I ask a question? Do you mind?
Please do. Yeah, go for it.
I just want to know, Kyle put on the note, over under for Aaron Rodgers passing yards tonight is 300.
Over.
I feel very comfortable
I believe this was a red zone question as well. And, yeah. Or something along those
lines. I don't even know how
lines.
I did on the red zone.
Give me a yes.
I probably won again.
Probably. Probably. It's what is
still tabulated by the accounting
Stefania,
firm of
Stefania, listen,
Herring
we've been
and
doing
Tung.
We've been doing the red zone for years and years and years on Fantasy Football Now. Stefania always gets out to an early lead. She always falters.
Yeah.
I always end up winning it.
Yeah.
I've won it, I believe, three of the last 4 years, including back-to-back champions.
Real life story of tortoise in the hair here.
Exactly.
Matthew is.
Real life, I'm very tortoisey.
Tortoisey.
Very tortoisey over here.
Yes. So here's the deal.
We got a lot of tortoisey going on. Here's, I think, a more important question, a much more important question about Monday Night Football. Daniel Dopp, I'll ask you, Stephania Bell, you're the smartest person in the room.
Get
bring it.
Yeah. Not so much hair.
Not so much hair.
Tortoise
I get it.
Hair.
Tortoise in the hair. Well done. That's nice. Nice job by you, Princeton. Well done. Very clever wordplay. All right. Here's a question. This is much more important.
Yes.
Daniel Dopp.
Yeah.
Stephania Bell.
Yes.
Does Mason Crosby get 10 points tonight? Because Field Yates and I are playing each other in the War Room League. I am down by 9.3 or something like that. We don't do decimal scoring. We do have kickers in the 16-team War Room League. Field is done. And again, he's up by 9 point something. I am done except for Mason Crosby. Does Mason Crosby get 10 points tonight?
You want to know? I feel bad saying this. I think they're going to be too efficient as an offense to kick field goals.
It's
Matthew.
Like 35-0 and they get five extra points.
Yeah, seriously.
That's my fear as well.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
Maybe I could just text Aaron Rodgers and say, you know what? Like when you get down there, like just bring Mason Crosby in and, you know, because not because he's a fan of mine, but because he's a fan of Fields.
Oh.
And then he would want to help him out by saying,
Aaron Rodgers is a fan of Fields?
Yeah.
So I need Crosby to not have points tonight.
Oh.
So you know what's going to happen.
Okay,
then.
Wrong setup.
You know what's going to happen is the Packers are going to run that.
Thanks for listening, Stephania.
Yeah.
You know what, Matthew, when Matthew starts
Princeton's
yapping.
Princeton's on the phone. They'd like the degree back.
Here's why.
What are you
Matthew
doing?
When Matthew starts yapping, I do what the audience does. I tune
Miami
out.
Miami of Florida. So, calling. I'm going to put Michigan on hold, Stephania.
Never mind. I'm going to go back to Aaron Rodgers and tell him to go ahead and score all those touchdowns.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Aaron Rodgers. I would have no problem with that. We are back tomorrow. We're going to finish.
What
we're going to wrap
that?
Up. Don't worry about it. We're going to wrap up everything that we didn't have the chance to get to today. We promise we'll get to also Monday Night Football. We'll talk more waiver wires as well. For Matthew and Stephania and Daniel, I am Field. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
Come on, Mason Crosby! Peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stephania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.